Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Carol, for leading, and Jessa, and was that other usher, Adam? Is that who it was?
Yes, Charlie.
Charlie, sorry. Okay, I didn't see. I was looking down. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you. Yes, thank you for leading us today in worship. It's good to be here, isn't it, in God's house?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. The rain has let up a little bit.
Oh, yes.
Yes. All right. Well, before we turn to the Word of God, let's talk to the God of the Word. Heavenly Father, Father in heaven, thank you so much for your presence, your peace, your protection this past week. Please open our eyes now. Help us see Jesus. Give us ears to hear what you're saying to us today through your word. For we ask in the name of our Savior and Lord, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, years ago, I had a problem with my voice. And so I went to an ear, nose, and throat doctor, and she helped me think about the way I spoke, and she helped me work with my voice to improve it so I didn't have that problem anymore. And that made me remember that when I was a boy, my father had his own brand of speech therapy. Maybe some of you remember that brand of speech therapy, the old ivory soap approach, you know. How many of you remember this soap? Fells naphtha. Anybody remember that one? That soap had its own smell and taste. Let me tell you. It was a laundry soap. You thought long and hard about what you said after a meeting with that soap in your mouth, you know. Well, today I want to talk about what comes out of our mouths. Because what you say says a lot about you. It says a lot about our character, about our love, about our allegiance to Christ or our lack of it. And I also want to talk about it because so many more are getting in trouble publicly for their words these days. Some spoken, but also a lot on social media, too. Some people feel like they just have to say something sometimes, and it's not always the best something. I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, we find God's speech therapy department. Also, if you want to other reading, James chapter 1, James chapter 3 are good places for speech therapy too. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 12 today, and we're going to begin reading at verse 23. Matthew chapter 12, begin at verse 23. The Bible says, "All the people were astonished and said," this is about Jesus, "could this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "It's only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons." Jesus says to them, "Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven either in this age or the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you," Jesus said, "on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." This is God's word for his people today. Now you might think that your words don't matter much, but Jesus begs to differ. Today I want to look at three important things Jesus says about us in our speech. We're going to look at how important our speech is, and also how our speech can reflect our love for Christ and our allegiance to him. So here we go. The first thing that Jesus says about our speech is, he says that your speech identifies you. Your speech identifies you. In Matthew 12:33, Jesus says, "The tree is known by its fruit." The fruit identifies the tree. Now this is a pretty simple concept to grasp, okay? If you see this, what kind of tree is it? Apple. An apple tree, right? This is the audience participation part, by the way, okay? That's an apple tree. Okay, now if you see this, what kind of tree is that?
Cherry
tree. That's right, okay? And students, this is one you can answer. If you see this, what kind of tree is that?
A money tree,
otherwise known as parents. However, I need to tell you that this tree only exists in your imagination, okay? All right, and if you see this, what kind of tree is that?
A lemon
tree. That's right. So you get the picture, right? A tree is recognized and identified by its fruit. By its fruit. That's right. So, if your words are your fruit, what kind of tree are you? How does your speech identify you? Would it identify you as an encourager? I hope so. Would it identify you as someone who is in love with Jesus and cares about his people and others? I hope so. Does your speech identify you as someone who knows the Word of God? People can tell. They can tell. Or would your speech identify you as a gossip or a rumor monger? I hope not. Do you have a hard time keeping your nose out of other people's business and then spreading it around like butter? We've all known people like that. Okay, I hope that's not you. Would your speech identify you as a liar? Would it identify you as a whiner or a complainer? Or would it identify you as someone who seeks to cause division in the church? There are people like that. People hear you speak and they identify us. So if you want to be known as a follower of Christ, talk like one. And the Bible says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. When people heard him speak, that's what they thought. He's full of grace and truth. If you want to know how to do that, simply read through the Proverbs, the Gospels, the rest of the New Testament. There's advice that's understandable and practical, and it works. It works. This is important. Now, why? Well, one example. A church that I know of had a big split, and it might have been avoided if people had taken God's word to heart. Paul writes to Christians in Romans chapter 16, verse 17. He says, "Watch out for those who cause divisions. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people." So, according to Jesus, your speech identifies you. The second thing Jesus says about our speech is that your speech reveals your heart. He says in Matthew 12, verse 34, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. The evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil." So according to Jesus, our mouth show what's in our hearts. If your heart is filled with good, then your mouth will reflect that. If it's filled with bad stuff, your mouth shows that too. It's simple. Your mouth mirrors your mind. Jesus says here that words are a reflection of what's in our heart. There's a saying, I don't know if you heard it, but here's the saying, "What's down in the well comes up in the bucket." Chuck Swindoll said it this way. He said, "Your tongue is a bucket that goes down into the well of your heart, dips out what is there, and then pours it forth upon the world." Isn't that an interesting picture? Someone else said, if you kick a bucket, what's inside comes out. You know, there's those different ways to say the same thing. What does your mouth reveal about your heart? You know, if we claim to be followers of Christ, but we lie, then we need to examine whether or not we're really in love with Jesus. Why? Because Jesus didn't lie. If you claim to be a follower of Christ and spread rumors, then you need to re-examine whether or not you're really following Jesus, because Jesus didn't spread rumors. The Bible said he was full of grace and truth. Oh, but it's such a juicy rumor, you know. People need to hear this. You know what? The internet is the worst thing now. For years, I've been noticing Christians sometimes are the worst, passing around emails, and now it's on Facebook, things that are half true. You know what a half truth is? It's a lie, right? And it's so easy to check it out now with the internet. There's some websites you can just type it in and see if it's true or not. I'm like, check it out. Christians should be known for truth. For truth. Jesus was full of grace and truth. Luke reports all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. If you claim to be a Christian but speak ill of others behind their back, then you need to reexamine your life. Jesus wasn't a backbiter. If you claim to be a follower of Christ but language is filled with four-letter words, then you need to repent. Jesus did not have a foul mouth. Sometimes I'll hear someone yelling, you know, I'm in school all the time, and I want to say, do you kiss your mouth? You kiss your mama with that mouth? Do you? I mean, it's terrible, especially in high school. Someone said, well, what do you consider foul language, Pastor? No, I don't think you need me to give you a list. Most people know clean language from foul language, don't they? If you got a question about something in particular, I'd be happy to talk with you about it, really, okay? And if you don't want to do that, and you're not sure if it's foul language, then use this model. If in doubt, throw it out. It works for bad food in the fridge and bad words in the mouth, right? If in doubt, throw it out. You know, in a previous pastorate, I once got two phone calls from a parent whose children were being cussed out, harassed, and verbally abused by students who attended the church I pastored. How did that reflect on Jesus? Now listen, we all mess up from time to time. We all mess up. And I've had to repent and ask for God's forgiveness for my mistakes. And in the circumstances where I'm able to ask for forgiveness from the other people I've offended. But the thing we need to do is we need to stop making excuses. Because there aren't any excuses. There aren't any excuses. There's no, oh well, you know, that's just the way I am, Pastor, deal with it. No. There's no, oh well, he's always been that way. Because these are things I've heard said about Christians. And it's not just a problem for men. Sometimes women can be just as bad. We had an older lady in the church I pastored that she was just being frank, you know. That was her excuse. They think they're being helpful when they're being rude. And just because you think it in your heart doesn't mean you have to say it, right? That's something we need to learn on Facebook, too. Sometimes you're better off, no response is a good response sometimes. I see children being brought up to talk this way, and it's shameful for the child and the parents. But as adults, we have absolutely no excuses for using speech that dishonors God and hurts others, do we? None at all. None at all. And we're going to discuss some things here in a few minutes to do that you'll have some tools to help you. We need to get over any thoughts that we deserve to do certain things that are wrong. Doesn't wash with non-believers, let me tell you. And they know how Christians are supposed to talk. I don't know how they know that, but they know. And it doesn't wash with God either. Now, at this point, I can hear someone saying, well, Pastor, why are you talking about this? Because it's in the Bible. Not because it's a problem that I've observed here in the church, but I don't know everybody's personal life. And my job is to preach the word, the whole word, right? I tell people that a pastor's job is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. How am I doing? It's been a problem in places where I've pastored previously. Let me just put it that way. But not here. I haven't run into it here. So, okay, the first thing Jesus said about your speech, he says, is that your speech identifies you. Second of all, he says it reveals your heart. The third thing he said is this. He said, your speech is going to be judged. My speech is going to be judged. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 36, he said, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak, for by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Folks, we're going to give an answer to the Lord for how we've spoken. God will use our own words. These are harsh words from Jesus here, and he doesn't sugarcoat them. If we're serious about being a follower of Jesus in every area of our life, then we need to take what Jesus says here seriously and think about the effect our words can have. You know, when we were kids, we had a little saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but what? Words will never harm me. But you know what? That's not true, is it? Words can hurt deeper than just about anything else sometimes. Careless words are better indicators of a person's true character than his or her carefully prepared statements. Take me, for example. My job is to preach to you God's word, right? That's my job, okay? And you expect what I say up here would be God-honoring and beneficial to everyone here. But what I say out there is a much better indicator of my character than what I say in here. Now, hopefully, they're pretty much the same. I don't preach to people when I talk to them out there, but I hope that my words to them are encouraging and God-honoring. So how will your speech sound on the day of judgment? When God hits that replay button on our lives, what will it sound like? What will it sound like? If it's gossip and backbiting, lying or whatever, then it says that our heart's not right with God. Now I need to be careful here. In the scripture before us, Jesus is talking to people whose hearts were far from God, the Pharisees. People who refused to recognize Jesus for who he was and the power of the Holy Spirit that was at work in him. They didn't recognize that. He was talking to people who God said he would use their own words to show them that they weren't going to get in the kingdom. That's pretty serious. I don't think Jesus was talking here about losing our salvation. What I think he was saying is that your words not only reveal your character, they reveal your salvation. They reveal what's in your heart. If there's nothing in a person's speech to show they love the Lord Jesus, then maybe they don't. Have you ever known people that they're one way in church and then the rest of the week they're totally different? That makes you start a question. What's in their heart really? Now, I don't think we should live in fear that God is looking for an excuse to rip our salvation away from us, because that's not what the Bible teaches. But it means we need to think about what we say. What about slips of the tongue? We've all had them. We regret them. But you know, as we watch our speech more carefully as children of God, and we mature in Christ, those slips are going to happen less and less. Why? Well, because we're taking out the trash and we're replacing it with good stuff, right? Our hearts will be filled with good things, not bad things that come out of our mouth. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, there's fruits of the Spirit in our heart, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. If you have the Holy Spirit, those are the things that are replacing the bad stuff. And sometimes it takes a while, okay? It's gradual, but it's happening. It's happening. Okay, now let's turn the corner and let's look at what we can do. What we can do. I love this picture of this little girl. What can we do? Well, we can do some things. The obvious application is that we need to allow God to fill our hearts with good stuff. With good stuff. And then our speech will reflect our love for Christ. And here's some practical steps to help us. Okay? First of all, store up good in your heart. Store up good in your heart. Two passages from the Bible I want to look at very quickly here. Colossians 2, verse 7 says, "Let your roots grow down into Him." Who's it talking about? Jesus. "And draw up nourishment from Him so that you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all He has done." Are you a thankful person? It'll transform your life if you focus on gratitude. Whenever I start out praying in my prayer time in the car, I start out by trying to thank the Lord for as many things as I can think of. You know, do you thank the Lord for His blessings on you? Be specific. You got a roof over your head? Is it dry? Do you have electricity? The power come back on, didn't it? Yes. Okay, I heard they were out of power this week. All right. Do you have shoes on your feet? Do you have food on your table? These are all things we can thank the Lord for. Gratitude. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 has some more advice. It says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." What's malice? You know what malice is? It's wanting to hurt. You want to hurt someone else. Yeah, that's malice. He says, get rid of that. "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." See, that's the transforming thing. We've been forgiven, so we can offer forgiveness to others. Remember, it's a heart issue. All these things I just read about in God's Word are issues of the heart. They're issues of the heart. We're supposed to get rid of the bad stuff and add the good stuff of compassion and forgiveness. And that prepares our heart to receive the Word of God so that the Holy Spirit can work in us. If a person's heart is filled with rage or anger or bitterness, these things don't nourish the soil of our heart, they poison it. Is it any wonder that people whose hearts are filled with these things tend to speak in ways that dishonor God and hurt others? Even if they claim to be followers of Christ. So first, store up good in your heart. Next, hide God's word in your heart. Psalm 119:11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." See, how can I do it? Well, let me give you 6 ways you can do this quickly. Hear it, read it, study it, memorize it, meditate on it, and apply it. Those are all things you can do with the Word of God. I thank God I had a mother when I was a little boy. She made up little verse cards of important scripture verses for me to memorize. She kept it in one of those slide-open Q-tip boxes. You remember those? I still have it. Okay, I thank God I had a godly mom who put God's Word in my heart. Then another thing to do after you hide God's Word in your heart is train your mouth. Train your mouth. I love this one. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful, for building others up according to their needs, so that it may benefit those who listen. Notice the first words of this command. Do not let. You know what that means? That means you have to control it. I have to control it. It's not like, God help me have a cleaner... No. You control it. I remember when I was in school suspension for a couple weeks, overseeing it until I got a teacher to take it. And these kids using foul language, and I said something to them about it, and they said, well, we can turn it off. I said, well, turn it off then. You control it. You control it. Now, what does this have to do with storing up things in your heart? Well, when you become more intentional about what comes out of your mouth, you'll also be more conscious about what's going on in your heart. And then you can see where you need to ask the Holy Spirit to do His work in you. One of the best ways to train your mouth is to remember the words of James 1, verse 19. Be quick to hear and what? Slow to speak. I'm sure you heard this. A lot of mothers have told their kids this. You got two ears and one mouth. What does that tell you? You should listen more than you speak. That's right. Be slow to speak. Someone put it this way. Engage your brain before shifting mouth into gear. You've probably heard that too. One of the best things we can ask ourselves is this something Jesus would say? Is this something Jesus would say? If not, then we're better off not saying it. And sometimes silence is golden. Another thing to ask ourselves is simply, do I need to say anything at all in this situation? Do I need to say anything at all? I found out when I ask that question, I talk less. And sometimes someone else says what I was going to say. And I may see that what I was going to say also was so off base that I'd be embarrassed if I said it. So I'm glad I didn't say it, you know. And nobody wants to make the situation worse, right? I certainly don't want to. It's been said that it's better to be thought of as a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Now, this is hard for preachers because we love to talk. And besides, people expect the pastor to say something, right? But I've learned to get better at just doing this. Zipping my lips. I can still participate by facial expressions, you know. But I don't always have to talk. In any case, I need to be sure that I'm training my mouth to say only those things that honor God and help others. And so do you. So do you. You know, I don't think it's a real surprise to anyone here today to hear that your speech identifies you and it affects how others see you. It may not be a surprise to hear that your speech reflects your heart and shows your love and allegiance to Christ. What's hard to hear is that our own words will be used one day, possibly to condemn us. Thankfully that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus paid it all. But God will show us things that He paid for. So what? You say, what now what? Well, some of you might be thinking right now, I don't know your heart, but you might be thinking, I'm sunk. You know, there's no hope for me. My mouth is foul or sassy or whatever. I'm never going to make it into heaven. That's not true. That's not true. But maybe you're regretting because your speech hasn't been all that good. Or maybe you've posted things online that you regret. Well, let me leave you with something positive, something uplifting. I love this picture. If you saw the movie years ago, The Passion of the Christ, this is from John chapter 8, the woman caught in adultery. I love this picture because they wanted to stone her. She was being abused by the Pharisees who condemned her. And do you remember what Jesus said to her? He said, where are those who condemn you? They had all left. She said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. There was forgiveness. The good news is that God still loves you. Forgiveness is available to all of us in Christ. You can call up to God and He promises to forgive us. Jesus died on the cross for us and He wants to begin cleaning us up from the inside out. You've never done it before, but you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior right now. You can do it. If you'll admit and turn from your sin and come to God and say, Father, please accept me and adopt me, not for what I have done, but because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross, The Bible says you can become a child of God this very day. And then God changes us from the inside out. But we need to take the next step. He's taken the first step by pointing out something that maybe you need to deal with. And I don't, maybe this isn't your problem. Maybe something else is. And God's put that on your heart. If you're a Christian, the step you need to take is to say to God, Lord, you're right. This is wrong in my life. I confess it. Forgive me. Cleanse me, like David prayed. Help me become the person whose heart is right and who talks like it. And then get serious about doing something about it. Take the steps I mentioned a few minutes ago. Store up good in your heart. Hide God's word in your heart and train your mouth. Train your mouth. Now, I can't make you do anything, but our decisions about this will determine our impact for Christ on our friends and our family and for all of eternity. So what will you do today? The invitation is for all of us. We all can use a checkup on this. Do it today. Do it today for your sake, for the cause of Christ. Listen to the Bible. It's great for your soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you for the good words of the Bible, but also some of the harder ones to hear. Lord, thank you that you know our hearts. Show us, Lord, the next step we need to take to become more like Christ. Whether it's with our words or with our actions. Lord, we all have family members and friends who need Christ. Show us how to speak to them, how to be Jesus to them, that they might see Christ in us and be drawn to the Savior through our words, through our actions. That Jesus might be lifted up and draw them to himself. For I pray in Jesus' name.